So how are you today, everyone?
Very good.
I'm doing well, too.
Well, the voices you just heard are Peter. How are you, Peter?
Hi, Doris. I'm doing well. Thank you.
And have you been on Advanced very often, Peter?
I get to go on Advanced once in a while, but usually I teach Let's Talk in English.
That's right. So this is quite different from Let's Talk, isn't it?
Yeah, new vocabulary, and you get to speak a little faster, so I hope I keep up.
I'm sure you'll do fine, Peter, and thanks for joining us today. And Amanda works on our magazine, and she does so many things and teaches in school. Amanda, we're so glad you could be with us today.
And I'm glad to be here too, Doris. Thanks for having me.
And it's fun to be part of the Advanced team, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And we get to look at different articles and, like Peter mentioned, a lot of vocabulary. You know, sometimes we even learn different vocabulary.
Always. We're always learning because there's so many things that we don't think about. We just hear it, but we can explore it a little more. So let's have fun today, shall we?
Okay.
Good idea.
This is Peng Wenhui, Doris, and we're going to start now on page 26. This is a speed review from the executive book summaries. They have reviews that come out to people that are bosses and executives all over the world. And it's fun to get those and use them sometimes in advance, don't you think?
I think so. And they're practical for people in their work.
They really are. And if you notice now that we have the QR code at the top of the lesson, so if you want to, anytime, just put your cell phone on there and you can see the little skits and hear the reviews. And it's really fun having the QR code. Do you think many people use it?
Well, I think people are discovering it. So I think more and more people are using it. I have several students that I've introduced the QR code to, and they didn't realize it was there, and then they're very excited once they know it's there.
They're excited because you can see Amanda in some of those skits, too, right? And I do the introductions. It's fun, yeah. So anyway, Peter, this article is called Great Work. Now, it says it's not what you do, but how you do it that truly matters. What do you think of that topic?
That's a good topic because I think we're going to learn about how anyone can make a difference. It doesn't matter if you're the top of the organization or you're just a janitor. I think anyone can really make a difference.
That's true. Of course, it's not what you do, but how you do it. I think what you do is still important, but it's maybe another part of being important. It's still important what you do, isn't it?
Right. I think it's talking about the attitude, your attitude when you do things, and how your attitude can actually make a difference.
The way you do things, really.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know if somebody says, thank you, and they don't look like they're very thankful, you don't feel good. And if they say, oh, thank you so much, you feel differently. So the way you do things is important, isn't it?
Very much, yes.
That's right. You can go through this world either one way or the other. You can just do what you're told and do what's needed and go, well, that's it.
Or you can really, my part.
That's right, yeah. Or you can enjoy what you're doing and sit back and really see, well, how can I make this more of mine?
You know? Well, and you can help other people enjoy it too, right?
Right. Yeah. Your attitude actually reflects on other people, and then they actually enjoy it because of your attitude.
So as we read this article today, think about how it affects you. Let's start on page 26 and read the first section, line 1 through 14.
Great work. It's not what you do, but how you do it that truly matters. Great work is work that makes a difference in people's lives, writes David Sturt, Executive Vice President of the O.C. Tanner Institute, in his book, Great Work, How to Make a Difference People Love. Sturt insists, however, that great work is not just for surgeons or special needs educators, or the founders of organizations trying to eradicate poverty in sub-Saharan Africa. The central theme of great work, according to Sturt, is that anyone can make a difference in any job. It's not the nature of the job, but what you do with the job that counts. As proof, Sturt tells the story of a remarkable hospital janitor named Moses.
Well, Sturt is an English name. You know, we have some strange names. Chinese have a list of names that they use, very logical. But in the the rest of the world, we have very strange names, don't we?
We do. I think even my family name is quite hard for
people. Oh, I know it's hard to say it. Well, how do you pronounce your family name?
Oh, it starts with a J, but the J is silent, so it's pronounced Jongepier. But it's Dutch.
That sounds Dutch.
Yeah.
It does sound Dutch, right.
Well, I have one of those great names everyone knows and can say, Smith.
That's a good name, Smith, right? Well, you know, my name is Brome, but it looks like Broham because there's a big G-H in the middle. That's because it's an English name. And they sometimes say Broham or Broham, not Broham. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our names are hard to pronounce. And don't worry about pronouncing them because there's too many of them. But this man's name is, what is his name?
David Sturt.
David Sturt. We can call him David. That's nice, too. That's an easier name. But he says here that great work is a work that makes a difference. So I think he means valuable work. Great can mean so many things, but I think he means something that is valuable, don't you?
Yes. That's what making a difference is. Making a difference is making their life better somehow.
And I think what he's saying is not just any work, but great work. So I think he's making the distinction right from the start that, yeah, everyone makes work, but he's going to talk about great work, and what is that?
Right. But I think great in the sense just means things that actually do make a difference,
right,
instead of just being some big project. See,
yeah.
Great, I always think, oh, a big project like building. Doesn't mean that. He just means the importance of doing something that is valuable to everybody. Right.
Right. Changing lives.
Right. Now, he wrote a book, and this is why it's a speed review, because the book summaries give you a summary of all the different books that come out. Mm-hmm. And instead of reading the whole book, you just find out a little bit about it. And what was the name of the book that he wrote?
It's called Great Work, How to Make a Difference People Love.
Okay, so how to make a difference. We've heard that so often, and people use it as a slogan. It's very important to make a difference. Isn't that important?
It's very important. And here, make a difference is just a phrase we use to mean improving people's lives or changing people's lives for the better.
Right, and he believes in it so strongly here that it says down here in line 6 that Sturt insists, he says, for sure, great work isn't just for people that we recognize, like, you know, doctors or maybe presidents even, or people. They're not the only ones that do great work, right?
That's right. There's everyone can make a difference. But, yeah, he's talking about people that we normally think of that do really, they're heroic in their work. And we go, oh, those are the people that everyone should look up to. And he's saying, no, there's more than just the surgeons that we should look up to.
Right. Not just the founders who started some big company like IBM or Apple or those people. Well, they're great. But, you know, not just them. There's a lot of other people. And people who do special needs to take care of blind children or poor people. Those are great things. That's true. But they're not the only ones. Isn't that what he's saying, Amanda?
That's right. He's saying that the everyday person, too, can also make a difference in their work.
Mm-hmm.
He says, according to Sturt, is that anyone can make a difference in any job.
Right. And he talks here when people start an organization, like maybe World Vision or something that helps to feed the people in Africa.
Mm.
Well, those are great, you know. But he said those people, the founders of those organizations, are trying to eradicate, which just means to get rid of.
Mm.
They try to get rid of poverty in areas like in Africa and those places. But they're great, but that's not the only thing. So what is the central theme of his book?
So the central theme is not the nature of the job that matters. It's what you can do with that job that counts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Right. I think the importance of people, and anyone can make a job. One job is not more important than another, right?
Right. Every job has an important role to play, and just how you go about it can really make a difference in people's lives.
And that will be encouraging for a lot of people who do jobs that people don't notice very much, because it's not the nature of the job. It's not the kind of job you do that counts. You might be a waitress or you might be a doctor, but it's not really the kind of job you do. It's how you do it that counts.
Right.
Yeah, and a little note here is, you know, when it says, but you It's but what you do with the job that counts. When you say that counts, that just means that it matters.
Mm-hmm. It really matters, right? Yeah. And, of course, they're going to tell us a little story here. And everybody likes stories, don't they?
Yes.
So it's just kind of a story. It's kind of an example. And who is the story about? What kind of a person?
It's a janitor, a hospital janitor named Moses.
And what do janitors do?
Yeah, they look after the hospital. They usually either fix the lights if they're broken or
but
like
they
a
clean
handyman.
The floor too.
Yeah, they clean the floor. They do a lot of different odd, what we call odd jobs.
Right. More like cleaning people,
mm-hmm.
really.
Yeah, you probably would think of them as just the people that clean, but you wouldn't really think this person can make a difference in a place like a hospital.
Right. So we're going to find out the story of Moses. Are you ready to read the story of Moses?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just go ahead and read the story and finish up reading today's part of the reading of the lesson.
The story of Moses. In a building filled with doctors and nurses doing great life-saving work, Moses the janitor makes a difference. Whenever he enters a room, especially a room with a sick child, he engages both patients and parents with his optimism and calm, introducing himself to the child and, Sturt writes, speaking little comments about light and sunshine and making things clean. He comments on any progress he sees day by day. You're sitting up today, that's good. Moses is no doctor and doesn't pretend to be, but he has witnessed hundreds of sick children recovering from traumatic surgery, and parents take comfort from his encouraging words. For Matt and Mindy, whose son McKay was born with only half of a heart, Moses became a confidant. As Sturt explains, Moses took his innate talents, his sensitivity, and his practical wisdom from years of hospital experience and combined them into a powerful form of patient and family support that changed the critical care experience for Mindy, Matt, and little McKay. How do people like Moses do great work when so many people just work? That was the central question posed by Sturt and his team at the O.C. Tanner Institute, a consulting company specialized in employee recognition and rewards systems.
So now let's look at this story of Moses. Tell us a little bit about where it takes place, Amanda.
Well, we start out by saying, in a building filled with doctors and nurses doing great life-saving work.
I know, that's hospital, right?
That's right. That's where a lot of sick people go if you have a serious disease or a serious injury.
So that's where it starts.
That's right. It is a hospital. So that's a great definition for a hospital, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A building filled with doctors and nurses doing great life-saving work. And we often think of life-saving work as the surgeons or the doctors and the nurses.
That's making a difference.
Right.
For saving lives, right?
Exactly.
That's very important.
So, but we're not introduced to a doctor or a nurse. We're mm-hmm. introduced to Moses, the janitor, and it says Moses the janitor makes a difference.
Okay, so what does he do when he has to sweep and clean and has to go around the hospital? What does he do when he goes into a room where a sick person is, Peter?
Whenever he enters a room, especially a room with a sick child, he engages with both the parents and the patient. So Moses really enjoys people.
He engages with them. What does it mean to engage with
them? And engage is kind of like make a connection. He starts talking to them, just saying,
connects,
how's it going?
Them,
yeah,
right.
He makes mm-hmm. a connection.
Right. You know, he just doesn't go and clean the floor and the janitor's here and go and clean and leave. He doesn't do it that way.
No.
No, he doesn't. He, you know, these people are going through some serious stuff, and he seems to understand that, and he's just been around it a lot. And so he comes into a room and makes them feel comfortable by making a connection, engaging with them. And
Well, there's two words I think are important in that sentence down in line 21, 22. One of them is the word engage. That's very important. But also optimism and calm. Now, optimism and calm are two very important things that everybody needs.
Right. Optimism is being optimistic. And that means having a positive mindset or looking at things there in a positive way. So here he comes into the room as he's talking with the patients and the parents. Maybe perhaps his tone of voice shows that he is a positive thinking person.
Don't you think we need more positive people?
We do.
Because so many times, you know, people, oh, that's too bad, you're so sick, you look terrible. That wouldn't make me feel better, would you?
No.
No, but the optimism is, well, you're looking better today. Mm. So optimism is good in everything we do. Maybe you didn't do so well in your job. I say, well, you did better than last time. Next time you can do better. Yeah. Instead of saying, you're never going to learn.
Right.
You know, so optimism is lacking. A lot of people are more pessimistic, and they look at the bad side. Oh, you did it again.
Mm-hmm.
So don't you think optimism is very important in making a difference?
Very important.
Yeah, it's very powerful, too. It can make the difference between life and death sometimes.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, you may encourage somebody that may be struggling to hang on, and you say something positive, and it makes them not give up.
Mm-hmm.
And the calm.
Isn't calm important? You know,
really?
Sometimes I see people out in the street and somebody, you know, hits their car, and they get out and hit each other and say, hey, calm down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this happened. Let's find out what we can do. And sometimes people get angry. And when you get angry, you say things you don't mean. You hurt mm-hmm. people. So if you can say, hey, calm down, and then we'll talk about it. If you even have a fight with your family or your husband or wife, hey, let's not talk about it till we calm down. Mm. Is calm an important thing in the lives of everybody or not?
Very important. You make me think of whenever many of the listeners know I used to be a police officer before, and that is one term I use all the time, calm down so that we can talk about it.
Right.
Because also here in this situation, if he is calm, maybe they're dealing with a lot of anxious thoughts or worried about the future of their house. And so when he speaks very calmly, it can make you feel more confident or safe.
I can just see him, you know, coming in and say, hello, I'm Moses, you know, and wow, you know, here he is speaking to them. And if they're excited or nervous, just the fact that he's optimistic might make them feel calm, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the natural feeling in a situation like this is to be the opposite of optimistic mm-hmm. and the opposite of being calm.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are those things, when you are optimistic and you are calm, You're taking leadership. It shows that you're leading the atmosphere, the feeling of whatever conversation you're having, and you're
That's
saying,
true.
Let's go through this positively, and just calm. Being calm, other people feel it, and
a lot
they
of people
become
say,
calm.
So what? You know, just make light of it, right? Mm-hmm. But what else does he do? As soon as he introduces himself, what else does he do?
Well, it says he writes.
Makes little comments.
Yeah, he makes little comments about light and sunshine, which are also positive things,
mm-hmm.
and making things clean.
That's true, yeah. And another thing he does is
he comments on people's progress in the hospital and says, oh, it looks like you're doing better today. And that's really important, too, because it shows that you care about the person. You notice them every day. Because if you didn't take notice to anyone, then you wouldn't notice if they're getting better or worse.
That's true.
So he, you're sitting up today, you're doing a lot better, and that's really encouraging.
When we expect the doctor to do that, they come around and say, how are you doing, see? But here is this janitor, and he notices them, and somebody else cares for them.
Mm.
People like to know that somebody cares, don't they?
Right, and if he's paying attention to those details, That also encourages them, that they're important and somebody cares about them.
Now, what kind of people does he see from day to day in this hospital job? What types of people?
Well, it says that he witnesses hundreds of sick children recovering from surgery. And witness is just another word to see. He sees children recovering from serious things every day.
What kind of things do we call that serious surgery?
Well, here we see it's traumatic, and that's one of our specialized terms. Traumatic usually means that there is some kind of shock involved
mm-hmm.
in it. So, like Peter said, serious. And it is serious, but it also could be shocking.
Right.
So it can leave, maybe they feel hurt or upset, or their body just has...
Well, any accident, you know, you get your stuff from an accident. Right.
Right.
So it's very traumatic. If someone dies in your family, that's traumatic. If you fall down the stairs, that's traumatic. Anything like that is a big shock to your system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and so he tries to comfort them.
Yeah, and I think there's more than just the patient that he comforts. It's the parents. And they are just as traumatic for the parents as it is for the child. And these people really care about their child in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're always worried. And
They're not calm at all.
And
he gives an example of one here, doesn't he?
Right. We meet Matt and Mindy, and they have a son whose name is McKay. And he was the thing with McKay is that he was born with only half a heart. And so that's quite a big traumatic thing to happen to them.
And then, so he became confident. He became one who shared feelings with the parents, right?
Right. When you're a confidant, you're somebody that other people feel safe to tell their true emotion to.
Mm-hmm. And how did he do that?
Well, he did it through, it says, his innate talent. And when something is innate, it's just part of who you are. It comes naturally.
Right.
And one of those talents is his sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
So he's able to see what is going on and respond in the right manner. And he also has practical wisdom.
Because he's been there a long time and he's seen a lot of people, so he can use those experiences. And then he combines those into kind of a patient and family support.
Mm-hmm.
And that really changed this very difficult, very important, you could say critical care experience for Mindy, Matt, and little McKay.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of said, hey, there's other people that do this. You can make it. And so he really encouraged them. You know, he didn't have to do that. That wasn't part of his job.
It's not part of his job.
But
right.
He made a difference, didn't he?
He did, yes.
So that's a good story. And how do people like Moses then do great work? How come he's like that when many other people just do their job? How come?
Well, and that's what Sturt looks at. And he's taking Moses and going, so why is that? Why is that? And they did a study, this O.C. Tanner Institute did a study about these types of people in many different organizations to find out what that is.
So what is the O.C. Tanner Institute then, Amanda?
Well, it's a consulting company that specializes in employee recognition and reward systems. When we specialize, it means that is you're doing something related to a particular topic. Here, they look at, how are employees recognized for the work they do? Or what kind of reward systems do organizations or companies have in place to recognize the employees' work?
Well, you know, we're going to talk more about that company when we come back tomorrow. But it's interesting, so many different institutes and companies started for a certain reason. And a consulting company is usually about business or something. But this one is talking about employee recognition, so it kind of sounds like an HR company or something.
It does.
Yeah, but you wonder how some of these companies get started, and we're going to find out more tomorrow. So let's just review what we learned today.
Mm-hmm.
What did we actually learn today? Anything much?
Sure, yeah. We learned that it doesn't matter what kind of position you're in a company, you can do great work. And we talked about this word great. Great
right.
means any kind of value, valuable work. And, you know, at first we think, well, doctors and surgeons, they're the heroes. But actually people like Moses, the janitor, can make a difference by engaging with patients and being positive and being calm.
Well, and we did have some very good words that you might want to put in your vocabulary. I think the word eradicate is a kind of interesting word. It means to get rid of something. We're trying to eradicate diseases like the viruses and SARS and Ebola. We want to get rid of those. That means to get rid of them completely.
Right.
You know, on your computer, you delete things when you don't want it anymore. But when you get rid of something, like something that's bothering the whole world, then you eradicate it, get rid of it. That's a good word. Did you find any other good words today to remember?
Well, I think the word innate being when you do something naturally is a very good word. Often we talk about people just having an innate sense to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think we hear it very often, but it is something that many of us have.
Right, there's a lot of good words in here. If you don't know them, you choose the ones that you might need to use. Not only just get the idea, but talk about the idea and the concept with someone. So will you come back tomorrow so we can finish this lesson together?
Yeah.
Sure.
And we want all of you to be back here, too, in our advanced class as we find out more about this company that's doing a study on how people at work can make a difference and which companies do. That'll be pretty interesting, won't it?
I think so.
So we'll see you then.
Okay.
Goodbye.
See you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.